In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Really, there's six readings today, and just about every single one of them we could speak about. We have now the gospel about the Lazarus, the beggar, and the rich man. So we know that it's very close to the Nativity Fast, because that's always at the end of the year, before Nativity Fast begins. And I would like to speak on that, but there's another scripture that I think is more important to talk about today, especially in the context of what's happening in our world. And that is the Epistle to the Galatians, a selection from it from St. Paul today. Some things in it that are really amazing. I'm firmly convinced that the way we experience life completely depends on how we think. Completely. If you experience life with good thoughts, with thoughts of love and peace in your heart, then it doesn't matter what you're going through. You will be at peace. Now, your body might not be at peace. Your finances might be at peace. Your job situation might not be at peace. But you will be at peace. It's all about how we think. And really, how you think depends on who you think you are. So there's thinking where you have discrete thoughts, and you think, I'm angry at this person, or I don't like that person, or I want this, or I want that. These are discrete thoughts that you have. But there's also a kind of thinking is basically our attitude, right? Our perspective about things. And if we have a perspective about ourselves, as this epistle speaks, then we live differently than the world. So it's really important to have the proper identity. We hear this term, identity politics. It's everywhere. It will increase. It doesn't matter who our president is. It doesn't matter. Identity politics is going to increase because identity politics is the politics of death. It's the politics of Antichrist because it is to identify a person as something other than what they really are. And what we really are is children of God, made in the image of God to obtain his likeness. We are new creatures because we were baptized, and we are different than we were. This is the only identity you should have. And St. Paul speaks of this identity, speaking about being a new creature. If you have this identity, then you'll go through the difficulties in life with confidence. Not ease. There'll be emotional upset. There'll be difficulties. And there are more difficulties coming in our society and all around the world. Anyone who has eyes to see, ears to hear, can look beyond the politics and see that mankind is getting lower in the way he thinks of himself, in the way he lives, the things that are important to him. It's the same here in Texas as it is in Kenya, as it is in South America, as it is in Russia. Mankind is going down. There is a sort of pallor in us now. We're not healthy anymore as a society. And that's happening to us. And you have to live in the midst of this unhealthy society, but you must be healthy. So you must be the healthy one living in the leper colony, the one with good lungs living in a tuberculosis sanitarium. How do you do that? You do that by knowing who you are and reminding yourself every day. Because, by the way, if you know who you are today, that does not mean you will know who you are tomorrow. Absolutely not. That is a big mistake that people make. You must continually remind yourself who you are every day by the way you live, by the things that are important to you, by your priorities, and all of the rest. It's a way of identifying who you are every day. You must do this. This epistle and many of the gospels and epistles have this idea to know who you are. Most people don't know who they are. Even that walk into churches, they don't really know who they are. They don't know really what they were created for. And even if they can give the standard answer that I want them to give, they don't really live according to it because it isn't really resonating in them. This world is dying.
We see deadly propaganda all the time, and deadly propaganda will lead to deadly deeds. It always does. So we must, what are we going to do? Are we just going to stand up? Am I going to stand up here and preach to you day after day after day about gloom and doom? Not at all. We can be more than conquerors if we know who we are. Remember when we read about the martyrs, not when we read about them per se, but when we have services to them, oftentimes we read from Wisdom of Solomon when it says, they're going forth from us seem to be utter destruction, but they are at peace. This is the peace that I want you to pursue and to obtain. And you cannot obtain this peace unless you know who you are. And you can't know who you are unless you live according to who you are. That's critically important in our day, especially because everywhere, all around us, in the media, in politics, in our businesses, in schools, in our friendships with people and the people we know, there's just this insanity that people believe. They believe it as the truth. They say things that are completely false, completely anti-Christ, and they believe it as the truth. And it gets into us if we do not forcefully, aggressively live in a Christian way. This is what this gospel tells me. And you can even read into this gospel our daily events. Not that I'm trying to twist this epistle, the gospel. The gospel is the good news. So the gospel and the epistle are still the gospel. I'm not trying to twist these words into events of our modern day, but you can definitely see that this same spirit that St. Paul talks about is present now and even increasing. So he says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Okay, what this is Rome basically said to the Jews, all right, we're your occupying power, and we'll leave you be, but you cannot make any converts. So you have to be just Jews. Don't do anything. Don't mess around with our populace, and we'll let you be. But the Christians didn't do that. The Christians, many pagans came to Christ, and they were uncircumcised, and they remained uncircumcised. So they certainly didn't look like Jews, and yet to the Romans, they appeared to be Jews, because the Romans had a very shallow idea of religion. There was our religion and the other religion. And so to them, these Christians appeared to be Jews that were proselytizing. And so the Jews wanted to have these Christians, and even Christians that had converted, wanted to be circumcised or have people be circumcised to fit in, to kind of go with the flow, to kind of not make any waves, so as not to have Rome become enraged. That's what they were trying to do. Do you see that today? We have compelled speech in our day, even in our country. In other countries, it's far worse. If you go north of here, it's far worse. You know, I'm not talking about Oklahoma now. I'm talking about Canada. If you go north of here, it's much worse. There is compelled speech. And there is also compelled silence. And that happens in our day too. There are businesses that you really can't say certain things in certain businesses. Could you imagine me preaching this in a meeting at Facebook? Are you serious? You know, I'd be executed, right? There is compelled speech and compelled silence in our land. And some of us, you know, you have to keep your job. Maybe you have to be a little quiet. I understand that. But we cannot at all say things that are false. But it's getting worse and worse. And there is a point where you have to stand up and say, I am a Christian. That's it. You might think I'm crazy. You might decide to fire me. You might decide not to promote me. You might decide to say terrible things about me when you go to the break room. But I am a Christian, and that's the way things are. Of course, if you're going to make that kind of stand, then don't act like an idiot, right? Live like a Christian so that the only thing that they can gainsay about you is who you are, not the things you do. They can just hate you because you're a Christian. And we are in a post-Christian age. Now we have churches all over the place, but we are in a post-Christian age. What is the energy in our society is no longer Christian as a whole. So what are you to do? You must know who you are so that when someone constrains you to be circumcised, you'll know, is this an accommodation I can make? Or must I make my stand right now? And if you don't live with this knowledge of who you are every day, you'll come to situations and you will blunder because you won't do the right thing. So you have to have this self-identity. I remember reading about the martyrdom of St. Peter the Aleut. And there were, I don't remember which Roman Catholic order, I think it was, I don't remember. But anyway, I don't think it was the Franciscans, it was somebody else. And they were coming in and they were forcefully baptizing the natives. St. Peter said, I'm an Orthodox Christian, I'm a Christian. And they were torturing him, asking him to accept their baptism. He wouldn't do it. And his only answer to them was, I am a Christian. Now, it might have been a language barrier. That might have been the only words he could say in their language. But he said, I am a Christian. That's it. If you are a Christian and you live as a Christian, then when you come to these compromising situations, you'll know when you make a compromise that is not a blasphemy. And you'll also know when you cannot compromise. So let's see a little bit more in this epistle, because I want to get to one of my favorite parts of the scripture that St. Paul says. It's a wondrous thing that we are new creatures, isn't it? We're not like the world. We don't have to be confused like the world. It's a beautiful thing, but it's also difficult, and it also has responsibilities. So he goes on to say that, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. He's talking about these people who want to be circumcised or circumcise others, that they are glorying in the wrong thing. He says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. What a wonderful thing. There's two crucifixions there. One is that I'm going to kill what's in the world, because a cross kills, doesn't it? Right? You put someone up on a cross and they die. So you crucify the things of the world, the rhetoric of the world, the identity politics of the world, the strange sexuality of the world that's permeating everywhere, including to your children when they are in preschool. You crucify that on the cross. And then you also crucify something else. You crucify yourself to the world. You're dead to the world. Those things that are in the world, you kill. With extreme prejudice, with extreme anger, the right kind of anger, godly anger against sin. I'm really convinced that our worst sins in this day now, there's a lot of licentious sins that are really dragging people down. But I think that fundamentally it is the sin of not knowing who you are and living according to who you are. That's the greatest sin. We are Christians, we live in a certain way. We make no apology for it, and we make sacrifice for it, because it's the only way that's alive. We crucify the things that are not of that life to the cross. And we also crucify ourselves to the cross and say, we're dead to the world. So he says, after saying this, in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Now, you must understand a little theology. When you read the Bible, you've got to understand a little theology. That's why you should read it so often, because the theology starts to come into your heart by the Holy Spirit. When you don't understand things now, 2 years from now, you'll understand them, even though you haven't like studied from some great professor or something. The Holy Spirit will teach you these things. So circumcision was a sign, it was a type of baptism. There's no need for circumcision anymore because we have baptism. Just as the lamb that was sacrificed by the Jews on Passover was a type of Christ. Well, we don't sacrifice a lamb now. We don't sacrifice animals because Christ is our Passover. Where the type, where the figure appears, you don't need the type anymore. So we don't need circumcision. Circumcision means nothing. You get circumcised or not, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that circumcision points to baptism, and baptism makes us a new creature. And that indeed matters. You are different. You have been bought with a price. You are precious. You are beautiful. So live in this precious and beautiful way. Always be aware that's who you are. Whenever you're in the muck and the mire, you are a new creature. And if you have that identity, it helps you immensely because it gives you much hope and it gives you much power and energy to know that you are a different creature than when you were born and a different creature than the rest of the world. The people walking around that look like zombies, the way they speak and the things they do. We are not zombies. We are new creatures alive and becoming more alive every single moment. He goes on to say, this is the combination, this idea of that I say that I really love, that we're crucified to the world and the world is crucified to us, and that we, because of baptism, are a new creature. And then I love this, how he brings it home. He basically repeats himself. It's a very Jewish way of writing, by the way. They'll say something, then they'll say it again. Or maybe they'll say it in a slightly different way. You'll see this kind of parallelism in all of Jewish writing. That's why I love the Psalms so much, because it's full of it. So he says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and mercy upon the Israel of God. Walk according to this rule. Do you have a rule? I just wrote a letter. I want everybody to take it home and I want everybody to read it three times. I mean, I read it probably 10 times in reading it and writing it. So you will read it at least three times. And it's basically about having a rule. We must have a rule. Do you have a rule? Or do you just kind of live like a boat that's in the water and there is no oar and there is no rudder, so you go wherever the water wishes you to go? You must have a rule of life. And the rule of life is based on who you are, that you know who you are. That's critically important. There's nothing more important in the world than knowing who you are. Because if you know who you are, you know who God is too, because God made you who you are. And then you walk according to this rule, and there's peace in walking according to this rule. He goes on to say, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I puzzled over that many times. I really don't completely understand it. But here's what it means to me now, and I think this is a valid interpretation. Now, St. Paul did have a problem. He had, some people say it was a problem with his eyes. Some people say other things. And he asked the Lord to remove this burden from him. And the Lord said, eat for three times. My grace is sufficient for you. And also, he also had marks on his body because he was whipped and all kinds of other things many, many times. But I don't think he's speaking of physical marks. What he's speaking of is Jesus Christ owns him. He is Jesus Christ's possession. He wants to be his possession. He bears in his body the mark, just like a slave when he was converted to the household. They took his ear and they, with an awl, and they knocked it against the, and they put a hole in it through the door. A little strange sounding. I'm glad we don't do that for baptism. But there was an actual mark. You know, the Ethiopian, I think the Coptic Christians, they will put a little tattoo of a cross on their finger as a mark. And they do that because they live in a land full of Muslims, and they're saying, I am who I am. I really appreciate that. So he says, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? I think it means that why should you let any of the troubles of the world trouble you? Don't let any man trouble you. He says, you know, you're homophobic. I don't care if people call me homophobic. I know what homosexuality is and what it isn't. I know what truth is and what the truth isn't. And I don't care what people call me. Or close-minded, or racist, or whatever, all that stuff that people call you. I don't care. I'm not going to let them trouble me. I know who I am. I am a Christian. I know what is truth, and I know what is false. And I try to live according to that truth. And if I continue to live according to that truth, I'll continue to know what is true and what is false. If I cease living according to that truth, then things get fuzzy. And then you make mistakes. So don't let any man trouble you. You bear in your body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You were baptized, you were chrismated. Now the water dried and the oil was absorbed into your skin, but that is a mark on you. The grace of baptism resides in you. So you have the marks of the Lord Jesus upon you, and don't let any man trouble you. When the election occurred, I didn't watch any of the returns or anything else. To be honest with you, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and I will not influence what is going to happen. And there would be things that would be said in the election returns that probably would just get me really ticked off. So I didn't watch anything, because what's going to happen is going to happen. And although I have preferences, it really doesn't matter who our president is, who our Congress is, Supreme Court justices are. None of those things are going to save you. You got to be who you are. So a lot of people are very troubled about what's happening in our climate, our political climate right now. And I think we should have some concern. But to be really troubled, St. Paul says, let no man trouble me. Doesn't matter who's in the White House in January. It doesn't matter. You still got to be a Christian. So are you going to be a Christian? Or are you going to be all concerned about this and that and the other thing? Are you going to be more concerned about false things that have happened and lies and deceit? Sure, lies and deceit are happening. Of course they are. We're in a fallen world with people more and more fallen who latch onto rhetoric as their identity. So of course we're going to have miscarriages of justice, terrible miscarriages. And some people are going to get away with it. So what? You are who you are. And it's a beautiful thing that you are, because you are a new creature. Don't let any man trouble you about who you are. Now, they'll trouble your body. They'll trouble your job. Those things are coming. They might put you in prison. I joke with Marina, and maybe someday it won't be a joke anymore, although most likely I'd be in a federal prison. I go to a lot of state prisons. So I say that because of the things I've written and the things that I preach, eventually I'll be convicted of hate speech and put in prison. And I say, at least I know my way around. But probably it would be a federal crime. And I don't know the federal prisons. And besides, it would be a whole new kind of prison, because it would be a thought crime prison, right? And they would feel that they would have to beat the thoughts out of you in some way. And it could be a terrible time. With God helping us, we'll get through these times if we know who we are. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to just be apocalyptic and say terrible times are coming. The sky is falling. You know, get yourself a shotgun and get yourself, you know, special survival food and a rocket stove, right? And a ham radio. I'm not saying all that. I'm saying that we must know who we are. Live according to who you are. That letter is all about who you are. Read it. Read it multiple times, because everything is from my heart about it. We must live differently. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to be too negative and criticizing, but look how many of us are here. We don't have 40 people here anymore. Why? I'll bet you in the temple there's not 40 people. In vigil, you're not coming to church as much. These are the kinds of things, coming to the services, saying the Psalter, praying for others, all the things, they're all in the letter. And there's more than that. It's not just a laundry list by any means. Those are the kinds of things that teach you who you are, and you continue to know who you are. Eventually, you're going to be tested very, very highly. If you know who you are, you're going to pass that test for sure. May God bless you and help you. I apologize, we've gone on a little while, but we better make some changes in the way we think about ourselves and the way we live. May God bless you, and may God help you in all things. Amen.